Hey there, I'm Dr. Jackie Myers, CPA, and welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. Before we dive in, here's something exciting. TaxPlan IQ users are saving their clients an average of $40,000 in taxes per taxpayer while selling large tax plans. TaxPlan IQ is the ultimate resource for tax advisors. With nearly 500 firms on board, we're helping advisors build skills, grow confidence, and connect with a vibrant community. Want to learn more? Visit taxplaniq.com/podcast for exclusive discounts, resources, and other things mentioned in this episode. Now let's jump in.
Hey there, welcome back. You may notice things are moving a little faster around here, and that's intentional. We've been trimming the fat, bringing you down to 30-minute power episodes now, and this is our first one to kick off because let's face it, attention spans are shrinking faster than what, you know, tax loopholes in the tax code, right? So that tighter format will mean you'll still walk away with actionable insights. If you're listening on earmark, yes, you will still earn your 0.5 CPE credit. So definitely check it out there. Now, speaking of action, you've got to come join me July 23rd in Denver, Colorado at the Bridging the Gap Conference. I'll be speaking on burnout and balance in accounting, something we're all feeling. And you'll hear from other legends like Randy Crabtree, Seth Feinberg, Samantha Hallburn. So come say hi, learn how we're changing the profession there. Now, on to today's guest, we have Chris Poppin. You want to talk about bridging the gap. This guy has become the trusted advisor, coach, professional for everyone in the room. He's done it literally all. CPA, attorney, insurance producer, definitely a lot of different disciplines to unpack here. So welcome, Chris. Really glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. I look forward. We're going to go rapid fire and get a lot of knowledge in a hurry. Hopefully it's good.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And I think I forgot one of your, oh no, I said it, insurance producer. So it's interesting because I just saw an article come out today that a lot of CPAs are moving towards insurance-based strategies as our economic position is changing and stretching and getting a little riskier. It seems like you've been doing this a while. So I'm really interested to hear a bit about that as we dive in. But tell us a little bit more about your journey. Give us a couple minute summary. How did this all come together? And how do you see yourself fitting into this kind of new modern firm model?
Yeah, so the cliff notes go something like this. During my education process, studying predominantly tax and accounting concepts, I get to a point where we're skipping pieces in the chapter. I ask a professor along the way, hey, why are we skipping all that good stuff? And it was something along the lines of, that's kind of the legal drafting. That's the lawyer's job. We can't do that as a CPA. Mm-hmm. Young and dumb. I'm like, oh, that's stupid. That didn't make any sense to me. Fast forward. That's exactly what I stepped myself into as I developed out and kind of saw my professional career. I recognize small businesses and small business owners sometimes have to pull five levers to get the professionals in a room to execute. So, you know, you're teasing a little bit about all of the different hats. We've got an active campaign to go get securities licensing. I got an insurance license solely because a client asked me to. And this is kind of that space of advisory where clients are finding people that they trust. My family was in business. I can leverage kind of on their goodwill in the community. And people are saying, hey, we believe this person. We know they have our best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of great professionals out there just like me. But if I can sit at the crossroads of all of the information and simplify something for client base, there's a lot of value that sits right there. So I've tried to develop a career and put a team around me where we are kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of things, for a generic word to use at the moment. Mm-hmm. So a law firm, CPA firm, we do have an insurance practice. My mom is still an active counselor who offices out of the same place that I do. So her retirement gig is, you know, counseling folks, which I hated as a kid because I had to do the emoji charts or the happy face charts or the different color cards or, you know, what personality type are you? Mm-hmm. Now it's gold because we can step in and see money always impacts clients in some way, shape or form. There's an emotional connection. Little did I know all of that training was going to be so useful.
That's amazing.
Dad started a family business, passed away. My brother had to take it over. Guess what? There's a succession plan in action. Never dreamed that's what I was going to do with it, but here we are able to literally say I've lived it.
Wow.
So all of that kind of in a nutshell is why I think people keep knocking on the door.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, lots to unpack there. So you've actually built two firms under one roof. Tell us about that.
Functionally, it's kind of one business. The state and different regulatory requirements forced me to maintain different websites, addresses. You know, if I want to sign as a CPA, it's got to be a CPA firm.
Sure.
I can't put that underneath a legal letterhead. But the essence of it is we represent small businesses and small business owners.
Awesome.
Try to kind of quarterback or sit at the board of directors with them. Sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, some ladies' business. Husband's along for the ride to help make decisions, but really is, you know, worried about their thing and helping people reason through a lot of those different decisions that they have to make, whether it's tax planning or lending or retirement savings or paying for kids' education or what can I afford this month? You know, sometimes it's not always rainbows and unicorns is what I like to say. So it's that consultative piece, and we can do it one-on-one. We do it, you know, in the more sophisticated environments as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most relatable ones are people are really good at what they do. They're oftentimes amazing technicians,
mm-hmm.
but they're only going to sell their business one time. Okay. We've done that 6 or 7 times this year.
Yeah.
So it's a different set of perspective that we want to share and enable folks to have that information to make decisions off of. A lot of what I think you've been down the road of and kind of, I mean, I don't know, you tell me on this one. I think a lot of people know what to do,
mm-hmm.
but they're seeking affirmation.
Oh,
is that
for sure.
Similar experience?
Yeah, there's a confidence gap there. And there is a psychological factor. I actually wanted to be a counselor growing up. And then I was very close to a counselor. No offense to your mom. I'm sure she's not like this, but the counselor I knew was really crazy. And so I was like, okay, nope, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go down the financial path where I don't have to get into the emotional stuff. But what was so cool is that you're able to bring it full circle, just like you're describing. You're literally the definition of a concierge, CPA, et cetera, because you've got extra titles. But I mean, you do need to quarterback that situation, and you do need to be able to manage their emotional tolerance and levels and the financial as well. So I think that's really cool. And where are you located, by the way?
I am in Oklahoma City. We're in a suburb, Edmond. So timing of the year, go Thunder.
Ah, okay. Good deal. Have you heard of Bartlesville, Oklahoma?
I've spent quite a few days in Bartlesville. Yeah.
All
it's
right.
Oil and gas capital of the world for some.
Yes, yes. So my grandparents are from there. They've both passed, but there's a Price Tower. My maiden name is Price, but it was not their tower. It was a different Price Tower.
You can claim it. We'll let you claim
okay,
it.
Okay, no cool. Yeah. All right. So are you seeing clients shifting and demanding more than just compliance work these days? Are you seeing that shift in the industry?
Yeah. So there's two things to this. I think in the past, people wanted it, but did not know how to ask for it. They didn't have the vocabulary.
Yeah.
And that came to me as something like I had a prior professional. I hired them to do a tax return, but they never called me the rest of the year. And I'd really like something more. I'm like, okay, so what do you want me to do for you? I want you to file my tax return. I'm like, okay, so what you said and what you meant are two different things. Let's translate through here and see where that lands. But with AI or with a lot of the online platforms, I think folks are being fed that clickbait leader piece of the conversation. So the conversation shifting to, hey, I heard I should, or my neighbor did, and in that setting things up in a different way where the mindset is more open, but it's kind of the execution. And the one everybody picks on is, should I be an S corporation?
Right.
You know, everybody thinks they should be an S corporation. I'm going, good. I will fix all the ones that people screw up. But therein lies when is it appropriate? Does it make sense? What are the costs associated with it? Mm-hmm. We had a client last week hand us their Excel ledger. Yes, Excel ledger, not a profit loss and balance sheet. I elected an S corporation 3 years ago. I haven't filed the returns. Can you help me get caught up? Sure. Where's your payroll? Wait, what? And right, any professional is losing their mind right now.
Yeah.
But they were following what I like to call TikTok advice. They didn't have the executional pieces. And that's really where I think the biggest value lies for tax and accounting folks or anybody that's really in a professional service right now. Mm-hmm. You can go get your insurance online anywhere you want. Is it appropriate coverage for you and your family given your circumstances? That's what matters.
For sure.
And you've got to find the folks that speak your language to try to execute on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So speaking of insurance, let's kind of address the elephant in the room. A lot of CPAs or even just taxpayers in general cringe at that word. Why do you think that is? And what do we need to change about that narrative?
So I think first and foremost, a lot of it is people cringe because of a sales aspect of it.
Yeah.
The insurance producers maybe put three different options in front of their client, encouraged them to do this one thing over on the right that was the most expensive and maybe not, but and oftentimes benefits the producer more so than the client. But you don't want cash value life insurance when term will do. You don't want the dentist to use a Dremel from Home Depot on your teeth. So I look at these different products, whether it's insurance or a retirement account, and none of it matters. What tool are you using for what job and for what purpose? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think spending some more time with folks, particularly in the estate planning space, I get clients all the time like, oh yeah, I got some insurance. Well, what kind do you have? Do you have term insurance? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I pay a premium every month. I'm like, look, every insurance you pay a premium every month. Let's tease this out some more. Well, I mean, this guy told me I needed it. For what? Well, I don't really remember. And that's the reality of today's world. It's going so fast. It's overwhelming. But if we can relate it back to what's the need? What's the purpose? Mm-hmm. So frequently, why did you get the life insurance? Oh, well, we were getting a loan for an acquisition on a practice. Ah, it's probably a term life insurance because it's backing the loan at the time. Mm-hmm. So you can back into it through questioning, but you got to find why did the client make the decision to kind of unpack those things. So Dave Ramsey's not going to like this, but why do I think insurance has a bad name is because I think a lot of people are buying cash value life insurance because they're trying to misuse it. And Dave Ramsey is very open about don't do that. It's a misuse for most people. Mm. Whereas if you use it for a tool, perhaps it is a different risk strategy for folks. It takes on a different profile of risk than being in the stock market. Mm-hmm. It can be an investment tool, but you've got to slow down and do that analysis to figure out what fits for everybody.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So there's a lot of buzz right now around the 2026 estate tax sunset, what clients should be doing right now in 2025. We've got the big, beautiful BBB bill, potentially coming out. What are you telling clients in like kind of an elevator pitch, succinct way of what to do right now?
First and foremost, this applies to a narrow set of folks that have a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. So for the majority, blow it off. For those that it impacts, and oftentimes those that are more intentional and kind of asking the question or asking for a reason, I'm explaining what's going on, why, and how. And trying to do just some quantifiable math to say, hey, if you make this decision during 2025, you will save roughly X dollars or something along mm-hmm. those lines. A lot of people will say, oh, I'll wait and see. And then, of course, you have to respond. I think Charlie Wilson's got a one-liner in that movie about why does nothing get done in Congress? And his response is, well, tradition mostly. And I think that fits here. I'm going to make a set of decisions based on known quantifiable law. We can talk all day long about whether that gets passed, whether it doesn't get passed, what it gets passed with. And you need to be on your toes, especially if this impacts you, to know that that's coming. But the decision-making process is based on one known set of facts right now today. That's what you need to make your decision on. But be ready for what's the spinoff, A, B, or C. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, add salt to the wound. They're probably going to do all of this after the fact and destroy everybody's planning path. But the beauty is when they do it after the fact, they give you some grace with the kind of the way the laws are built. So I don't know about you, but when you live in professional land during COVID, I mean, did you find yourself like reading legislation every other day that you never thought you'd read that isn't passed yet?
Yes. And then I made the conscious and, decision for my mental health that I was going to wait for it to actually happen, right? So, yeah.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Dr. Jackie. Are you enjoying today's episode? If you are, here's how you can support the podcast. Like, share, and subscribe to the Concierge CPA podcast to help us reach even more listeners. Continue the discussion and connect with other accounting professionals in the Accounting Firm Influencers Facebook group or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And now let's get back to the show.
So I think being aware is key, but base it on the known set of facts and circumstances. Do the analysis there and then kind of know, yeah, I like that analysis. I'll do that. And then if something changes and you don't have to, cool. Maybe you saved a little bit of money. But most of my folks, they like a path of two or three options so they can kind of step in and say, this works best for our family. This is the path we're going to take. Mm-hmm. And in a gifting scenario like this, this is probably going to play out to be where folks would perhaps give away assets to the next generation. They want to do it right up until they sign on the dotted line anyway. Mm-hmm. So you can do the whole plan and they may freeze up and not execute on it just out of emotion. So that's another element where I kind of want to get a litmus test for how serious are you early in the process, especially with this might change, because I don't need people looking for an excuse not to execute the plan.
Right. Yeah. Commitment level is a great upfront discovery question for clients. Like, don't even suggest even like an S corp. There has to be a commitment level, right, to it, yeah, for them to actually move forward with things. And especially if you get into estate planning. So that totally makes sense. Okay. Now, since I mentioned the Big Beautiful Bill Act, I know I just got back from AICPA Engage, where there was a lot of really like positive reinforcement and hope for the future with the new CEO of the AICPA. He mentioned how they're trying to fight the provisions that are taking away the SALT taking away the SALT cap limit stuff for especially attorneys and accountants that are already being penalized with the QBI SSTB stuff. Do you have any particular opinions on if you think they'll win that or lose that, or where you think this bill might end up passing and going through?
I have a better shot at placing money in Las Vegas than I do guessing. On
well, I was in Vegas, so I'm glad you bring that up.
Now, the reality on a lot of this is there's gives and takes. So as you kind of look your way through certain things, I think you got a better shot at SALT caps because of the way the statistics play on that. That impacts more folks than it does some of the SSTBs. But I will give you the same answer in the opposite direction, because the SSTB calc probably impacts the budget differently. And obviously all of this has to fit into that budget reconciliation process. Mm-hmm. So my gut tells me if it's politics driven, usually they're focused on the statistical majority or statistical masses of their policy. So if one's going to get cut, it's going to be us. And that's usually the game for CPAs and attorneys anyway. We're last to the table. Right. We've got to deal with everybody else's stuff, then ours. So, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, I didn't really think that they had that much concern around it from the initial implementation of TCJA, but maybe because there was just so much to it, you weren't able to kind of pick apart those little pieces, like, a small business service professionals. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I agree. It's a it's, you know, everyone's bet at this point. Okay, so let's do our lightning round now and have a little bit of fun. So you ready for some rapid fire here?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, this is rapid fire in tax geek lingo, right? So one tax form you would eliminate forever.
One tax form I would eliminate forever. 990s.
Okay, yes. Okay, most surprising thing you learned practicing law that you can apply to life or accounting in general?
People will lie to your face.
That reminds me.
I have privilege. I have all the privileges.
Yeah.
And they'll flat lie to your face.
Oh my gosh, that's scary. Yeah, I've been watching all the Netflix shows, like the cheating shows, the Sneaky Link, the whatever. And I'm just like amazed at how they're just like straight up lying to people about everything. Okay, what are some of your favorite tax strategies? I mean, this can be broad across the board of estate planning, income tax, insurance, etc.
I'm going to give you two. The first one is do the basics. What I run into with a lot of business owners is they get scared of certain costs, like, I don't know, accounting fees, right up until they get their tax bill. And it's, oh yeah, I forgot to give you that other credit card. Well, how are we supposed to have an accurate set of books if you don't give us all the financial info? So literally go back and do the basics. And this happens across bigs, smalls, everywhere. And then another one that I think I'm echoing a lot of other people is I recognize that taxes as a percentage and cost are one of your largest costs, but don't let the tail wag the dog. Employee costs are usually the largest for most. Sometimes it's supplies and materials if you're over in manufacturing land, but people don't let the wait staff at a restaurant dictate hours, but we sure as heck let the tax code dictate the buying decisions that we have. So those don't align. And I think it's because people are focused on tax savings rather than efficiency. They want tax efficiency.
Yeah.
They're just using the wrong lever and spending all the money and partnering with the bank and making the bank rich to go get their G-Wagon that perhaps is not a wealth building strategy. You can depreciate it. You can save a lot of tax money, but it's the only asset every client wants, but doesn't have any value at the end. Does not make sense to me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and going over the basics is so important. That's one of my like banes of my existence is like the fact that, you know, I'm a huge proponent of tax advisory and strategy, but people are not doing the small little things first. I mean, just make sure you're doing the entity selection, accountable plan, you know, just all those basics, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as pay your estimates.
Yeah.
Why is my tax bill so high? Because you have a $1,500 penalty.
Right.
That's why. Just pay your estimates.
Yeah, very small steps. I love that. Okay, next question. What tech tool do you swear by?
Yes. If it's tech and I can swear by it or swear at it, I've got it. To answer the question more directly, the tools that we leverage the most are our different planning types of tools. Not really, you know, obviously the compliance stuff's incredibly important because sometimes it gets you to places that, frankly, I don't want to do on PDF and calculators and paper anymore. But seeing things like from a research perspective or seeing suggestions through a different lens, like the advent of AI laying all over all the top of all of this, I've got a checklist. I can run that checklist, but if you're a restaurant, I'm going to pull out my restaurant checklist. Well, maybe something over here from the professional services bucket fits. So getting those different perspectives and seeing kind of this real-time emerging technology play out, that's kind of why I answer it as yes, because is it one tool? No, it's layered into a lot of different tools that you kind of have to learn a vibe with. But I think that's tomorrow's profession. And he or she who masters how to speak that language fastest will succeed.
Okay, so I'm going to skip this. This kind of leads into the final question, but I'll skip back. What's one word to describe the future of tax advisory?
Complex.
Go complex?
I'm an attorney. You said one word. An attorney would say it depends, which is two.
Yeah, no, we don't. I won't accept it depends. Okay, got it. Okay, I think you kind of indicated this throughout the show, but what's one legal phrase that you love to drop in client meetings?
A legal phrase.
Or any phrase. What's like a fun phrase? I mean, you've referenced a ton of stuff about sports. You've referenced some unicorn stuff. I mean, you've got all kinds of fun phrases that you say.
I think my go-to is it's hard to tell you I told you so without saying I told you so. Because as CPAs and attorneys and advisors, you know what the 9 steps down the road look like and you warn people. So I say stuff like, hey, we're going to come back and have a conversation right here. I need you to remember this moment, whatever it takes. And then fast forward, like, so this is what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard to say I told you so without saying I told you so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, love it. So speaking of unicorns and rainbows, I have kind of gotten this obsession around unicorn rainbow poop and how like life is just a bunch of like up and downs. And so like I bought all these like little like sayings. So this says, in a world full of turds, be the one that sparkles.
Yeah, see, that fits. But I think that's a lot of what's going on from a client perspective too.
Yeah,
they see the shiny turd and say, oh my gosh, isn't that great? Maybe. It depends. I don't know. Let's figure it out.
It depends.
I mean, if that's your business.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So on that note, we're going to wrap up so that we can keep up with everyone's goldfish brains out there. So any final closing words of thought? You know, our listeners are mainly accountants and other advisors. Anything you want to make sure that they know about that could help them?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I always try to leave people with is an action item. I know we've had a lot of fun with some of the concepts, but pick the one that hits your client base the hardest. Mm-hmm. And go send an email, go ask for a client meeting, go engage, like do something about what you learned today. Because I get it. You've got 1900 emails. I mean, if your inbox is like mine, it's a disaster, but go execute on one thing, just something that you think will help your client base, because it's going to come back to you tenfold.
Awesome. I love that. Chris, you're definitely a rare find in the profession, a true concierge style advisor. So for folks that want to learn more about you or find you, where can they online?
Yeah, there's lots of layers. If it's kind of professional stuff, you've got CPA firm, Papin, P-A-P-I-N, CPA.com. You've got the law firm, PapinLaw.com. For some of the more public facing knowledge base, you know, kind of drip marketing type stuff. If you want just freebies as small business owners, papinspeaks.com is a great stop for that. And certainly LinkedIn. We post stuff all the time that people can use.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. This was really fun. And so on that note, we will sign off. Until next time, peace, love, and tax literacy to all. Take care, y'all.
I appreciate you listening all the way to the end. It truly means a lot. As a thank you, I'd love to give you a free gift, my value pricing calculator and proposal workbook. This tool has helped tax advisors create 8-figure tax plans and save over $1 billion for their clients. You can now download it at taxplaniq.com/ROI-method. Thank you for being part of this journey, and I'll see you next time on the Concierge CPA podcast. Take care, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.